Why not? It's there. We'll give it a go. It's lighter. It's easier, isn't it? I've been meaning to get a nice music stand to use as a lectern, and I keep forgetting to do it. So we'll use an ordinary one, because that thing's very big. An ordinary one. Fantastic. Isn't it good to be in church?
Yeah.
It's very good to be in church. Fantastic. The music stand's not as big as the other one, though. It'll work. fantastic. Well, let's let you know, Jill is down at the Coonawarra Church today and sharing there on there. They're doing a whole theme around serving the community and that kind of stuff. So she's gone down there to share with them, which is great. And another thing that's happening is that Adrian and Liz are starting they're literally starting City Life Shell Harbour this week. How good is that? So those who are unaware, we are going to be planting a church in Shell Harbour. And this week, the small group that's going to be starting that, the brave hearts of the church, there's five of them plus a few kids, are going to be joining together and forming our first City Life Shell Harbour life group. So that's happening this week. Where is Liz? Feeding out the back. Well, why don't we get Adrian? Why don't you come over here? We're going to pray for Adrian. You'll have to pray for Adrian and Liz and the group. Would you like to do that today? No, they don't want to do that today. You want to do that? Why don't we have a few people come on out? Some of our leaders, if you feel prompted, come running out. And we'd love to pray with them today. Yeah, bring the group. Come on. Thank you, Lord. We just give you praise, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your hand of blessing. We thank you, Lord, that you have an intent, you have a plan, and you have a purpose. And we give you glory. We want to be obedient to that and to flow with that. And Father, we just thank you for Adrian and Liz. We thank you for their heart to serve you and to honor you. And Lord, today we set them apart for your glory and for your honor to do your work. And we ask, Lord God, that you would build your church and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that your blessing will go ahead and behind, and that your anointing would rest on them for your purpose and for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Very good. Give them a good hand. Don't be... be hopeless about it. Man, why? That's awesome. And they're going hardcore because they're just going to form that life group and start reaching out to people and doing some community outreach. And it's just very exciting. And it's all happening. The other thing that's happening, of course, is that we've got our Buy the Bricks building project offerings that are coming up this year. So some of you may not be aware that a couple of years ago, God spoke to me, just prompted my heart that we needed to move towards our own building. We've been sort of thinking we wanted to get there at some point, but it was a real just strong prompting. And the sense was, some of you may remember, the sense was I actually said we need to do it in 3 years, which was a fairly radical statement because I think we had about $30,000 or $40,000 in our building fund and we needed something like at least $500,000. We now realize we need about probably $700,000. And so that was a fair leap 2 years ago from $30,000 or $40,000 to about $700,000. A few months later, our state ACC, the state church leadership, contacted me and they said, would you like a building? And I said, yes, please. And they literally, the little church that's over at Verica Street, they literally gave it to us in the midst of this thing of God, of this move of saying, well, God's saying to us, we've got to do this. But I went, wow, that's pretty awesome. And so we've had that building for the last 12 months, 18 months or so. It's been used for various sorts of ministries and stuff. But we knew that at some point we would sell that and it would form part of the beginning of our building fund process. And so then at the start of this year, we thought, okay, it's time to get going. And we said that by the end of the year, we wanted to have actually broken ground, done whatever we've got to do. We've got to start the project by the end of this year. So that's the thing that we've got before us. And so what we thought we would do is we wanted to have two building fund offerings this year, one in July and one in October. Every year we normally have one. We thought we'll do two and we'll see what happens. Let God continue. This is a God process. I've just become more and more convinced And I'll tell you why more so this week. This is just a God process. He is just doing His thing. And so we thought, well, we'll just flow with that. We'll do July. We'll do October. And that's what this is about, buy the bricks offering. And so you'll see there we've got our little setup of bricks up the back there. We've got some pictures up on the back wall there of a prospective church. It may or may not look exactly like that, but that's basically the idea. 250-seat auditorium. It will handle a church of 500 or 600 people. The way we set it up, do multiple services, all that sort of stuff. So we've thought it all through. It's a very sensible step up from where we are now to where we need to be next, and allows quite a bit of growth. So we're smart people, and God has been leading us and guiding us. And so we're not being stupid. We're being very sensible and making this, but we're stepping out far enough to actually give us capacity to grow and to move forward, which is great. So on your little buy the bricks thing here, which I really like it actually, it has, you can buy, now this comes from the team that went to Vietnam. This is how it sort of germinated, was that they heard the story. Remember the story we heard a couple of weeks ago? There was a Vietnamese community. We're doing community development there. And one of the stories we heard was the community had, in order to do, I think it was a water project, somebody help me, in order to do their water project, they needed to build a building to house the water filter and ancillary stuff. And they said, we can't do that. We can't build it. Like, it's partnership in development. You don't just give it all. There's got to be a partnership. And so they said, we can't do that. They went away and they thought about it. And they said, if everybody brings a brick, then we can literally build the water filter building. And so people went away and they all brought bricks, which I think is pretty exciting. And they brought all these bricks in and they got enough to build the building, and they had too many, which reminds me of the whole Old Testament tabernacle offering where there was too many, and just exciting. And so they brought these bricks. They sold the rest of the bricks to pay for the labor, and they literally built their own building in order to meet their own health needs, which I was just really excited by. And when it came to us thinking about facilities for the glory of God, I thought, well, that's not a bad way to go. Let's do a buy. We're not going to bring bricks. Please don't now. Now, Zach was very good during the week because he found us 60-something bricks in his mum's backyard and cleaned them all up so that we could make our little building there. But they are the only bricks that we want anybody to bring. We don't want anybody else to bring any more bricks. Don't be doing that. But we thought we would, as a thing to make it visual and break it down for us, help us to understand what we need to do, we thought we'll do a buy the bricks. Now, we need approximately $300,000 in order to get us to a point where we can actually engage this project. So you just say that quickly, it's not very much, and so you don't worry about it. So you could do a single brick, which is $2. And some people go, oh, $2, I can do that. A single brick, hang on a minute. I went to Sydney during the week, I had two people ask me for $2. Oh, isn't that funny? One little old lady and one other person, and they both came up to me and said, have you got $2? And I thought, yeah, I got $2. Yeah, I have $2. Now, they're probably asking everybody, they're probably making more money than you do. But $2 is not very difficult. And you know how you don't want to get stingy. I know, you know, you don't always give to those sort of people and that sort of stuff. But you just want, I thought about it afterwards, oh, you've got to keep your heart a bit free of that, you know. And then, if they got their drama, neither of them were druggies, I could tell that, but if they got their drama, you know, $2, not going to hurt me. Anyway, $2 for a brick, or you could buy a row of bricks for $100, or you could buy a pallet of bricks for $1,000. Someone said, now we're talking. Someone said, yeah, exactly right. And so we sort of put it out there. We thought, we'll give you some ideas and some thoughts. Let me tell you, we basically need 300 pallets of bricks. That's what we need, 300 pallets of bricks. Now, let me just say, there will probably be no bricks in the building. Just to be straight with you, it'll probably be a concrete slab construction. There probably won't be any bricks. But anyway, you get the idea. It's a visual thing. It's an aid. It helps us, all right? But what we need in terms of finance is we need 300 pallets of bricks. Now, what has intrigued me this week, the day, because you know we launched this on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, we had a great time. It was just unbelievably fantastic as we shared together around. We had Pastor Steve Spence from Coffs Harbour came down and shared with their journey and what was going on. It was just awesome. I've got another friend lined up for Next House Builders, who's also been through a similar kind of journey, and he's going to come and share with us as well, this time just from Sydney, so we have to do all the flights and all that sort of stuff. But they're going to come and share with us. But it was exciting, and we launched the whole buy the bricks thing. You know what? The next day, we got an offer on the Vereker Street property for the price that we were asking for. The next day. Isn't that right, Clinton? The next day. Isn't that amazing? And you know what's going to happen? And we're going over that this weekend. The board will have a look at that and make sure it's all right and good. But in all likelihood, you know, that's just going to happen and that thing's going to sell. In this market, amazing. Have a look at the property, amazing. And it's just, and I just came away from that. I said to Clinton, I said, I shouldn't be surprised, but I am. You know, here we are, we launch out, and immediately God says, you're on the right track. I'm just amazed by that. I mean, we're going to have hurdles and problems and challenges, but just immediately God says, here we go. And you know what's going to happen? God is going to give, without us doing anything, God's going to give about 400 pallets. That's what God's going to do. And he's just done that without us asking, without us thinking about it, without us doing anything about it. He's just going to give us about 400 pallets of what we need. And now he's asking us to do the other 300. And we know that that's going to be the blessing of God as well. That nobody needs to be stressed or troubled or striving. But we know that God's going to bless. God's going to provide. And he's going to speak to you. And someone's going to say, I want to give 50 pallets. I want to give 100 pallets. I want to give 10 pallets. I want to give one pallet. Whatever. People are going to get it from God. And they're going to go, I really want to do that. You know what we're not going to do? We're not going to have pledges. We're not going to have cards to fill out. We're not going to have any of that. You're going to pray. And I'm going to pray. And we're all going to pray. And we're going to say, God, what do you want me to do? And we're just going to be faithful to what God says. It's as simple as that. I would encourage you to grab that card. It's got plenty of space on the back. And as you pray, as you seek God, just write something down. What do you think he's saying? You're not going to give it to anybody. You're not going to give it to me or put it as a pledge. You're not going to do any of that. But I'd encourage you to do that. Maybe stick it. If you've got a big wallet like I have, then you could actually fit that in your wallet. If you've only got a dainty little small wallet like a wussy guy, then you'll have to cut it in half or something and put it in your dainty little small wallet and make it fat. And so that was just for the blokes. And so just pray, seek God. I'd encourage you to write it on there, stick it on your mirror, do whatever you like, but make it a focus of prayer. And leading up to July, we're going to have some other information. We'll do a couple of videos for you to show you the kind of buildings we're looking at. And as we come to July, you get ready. Prepare yourself. You know, the scripture talks about being prepared for offering. And so prepare yourself for that. And then towards October again, we'll do the same thing. And we'll just move our way towards there, believing God for blessing. And we'll maybe along the way, we'll give you a little bit of info about why do we want to do a building. It's pretty obvious. We want to have somewhere to do the work of God. But why own a building? You'll get a letter during the week. I'll address a bit of that. But we'll also maybe talk about it. We're not going to talk about it a lot, just by the way, because we're actually focused on moving the kingdom of God forward. But we believe that this is really important and a real key moment for us. And we actually believe it's a God process that he's doing. So get on board, get amongst it. And we're going to have an exciting ride over the next 8 months. It really is. It's already been exciting. I couldn't believe it when we got that offer on Thursday. We got it on the agent got it on Thursday. We got it Friday, and we thought, wow! And we had it in writing by the end of the day Friday. These people are keen, and I was just very excited. But I want you to turn. Grab your Bibles. We can get there in a minute. But we're going to finish up today on freedom in Christ. And today, I want us to think about freedom from inhibitions. Freedom from inhibitions. I don't know how many people, this would be a very much a little wave sort of response, but how many people sort of would identify that in some areas, some sphere of your life, that you find that sometimes you feel limited by inhibitions. Sometimes you feel held back. Sometimes you feel, some of you are sitting there going, I'm not inhibited about anything. Well, that's okay. We already know that about you. And God bless you and enjoy your life. But many people are actually inhibited, are actually held back. Maybe they're inhibited in worship. Maybe they're inhibited in their witness. Maybe they're inhibited. Maybe God speaks to them about a situation and they're held back on actually speaking. Maybe they're inhibited about actually doing what God has called them to do. Maybe God has said, launch out on a building program, and they're feeling inhibited and going, I don't want to do that, Lord, which is a little bit of the conversation that I've had. But not really. I was pretty excited when God was talking to me about it. But maybe some people are inhibited about the call of God, the work of God, what God is putting on their heart, and they're saying, oh, I'm just feeling restricted and restrained. Well, that's what I want to talk about today. I don't want us to be restricted and restrained. I want us to be free. I want us to be free to engage with the purpose of God for our life. Is that all right? I think that's all right. The scripture tells us, Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's what we've been talking about, isn't it, the last few weeks? We've been talking about don't let yourself get bound up. Don't allow it in your life. If there's any area of your life where you're bound up, if there's any area of your walk with God where you're bound up, don't allow it. Get aggressive about it. I was talking to a young man some months ago about being bound up with pornographic addiction. And I said to him, I said, you have to be aggressive with this. Don't allow this to get into your life. At that stage, he was just in the early phases of this stuff starting to get onto his life. And I said, be aggressive on this. Don't sit back and be passive. Don't just sort of wait and pray and say, oh, God, help me. Don't do that. Be aggressive about this. Get after it. Make sure. Get a mentor alongside who's going to help you to walk this through and live this out. And get aggressive about that thing that wants to bind you up. Because anything that binds you up is going to limit you in fulfilling the call and the purpose and the destiny of God. Be aggressive about getting rid of it out of your life. Is that all right? Be aggressive about it. Don't let stuff bind you up. Don't be aggressive with people. Be aggressive with the sin. Be aggressive with the devil. Be aggressive with those situations that are binding you. Maybe you're a critical and negative person. Stop it. Be aggressive about it. Don't be aggressive about your negativity. Be aggressive about getting rid of your negativity. I was talking to someone during the week. Nearly fell off the stage. And I realized that I thought this person's very negative. I had dealings with them in another church. I had dealings with them, and I thought, they seemed really negative to me. And they came, and someone had said to them that they were really negative. I said, yeah, well, I think you are too. And as we were talking, I did say that. And as we were talking, though, I realized this person actually has got a prophetic gift. There's something in this person's life that God wants to release, but it's gone all negative. It's gone all, you know. And I said to him, and then I said, "You've got the issue. You've got is you need to now build a relationship with those people that God has put you with, and you need to become their greatest supporter. Because at the moment you're just looking at all the negatives and the criticals, and it's just negative and it's just destructive. But God's put a gift in your life, and if only you would be aggressive against the negativity, then God would release it to be a blessing to His people." Come on, be aggressive against that stuff that holds you back. That's what the scripture says. Some of the guys tell me I have long introductions. That's true. But they're very good, aren't they? Let's get to it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. It says, don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Now that scripture is specifically speaking about the confidence that we have in Christ. Don't throw away your confidence. The confidence that you have that Jesus died for you, that you are saved because of His love and His grace. Don't throw away that confidence because it has great reward. And I want to take that principle. I want to say, don't throw away the confidence that we have because of what He's done for us. Get a hold of it. Be strong in it. Get released in it. My prayer for you that by the end of today, that you would leave this morning and I'm not looking for you to be a world beater by the end of today in a 30-minute, 20-minute message, change your whole life and be a world beater. That'd be great, and maybe God will do that. But what I am looking for is that you will take a step towards what God has got for you, that you'll actually start to address something in your life and say, yes, it is possible that I could overcome that I could get released, that I could get free and actually become useful for the glory of God. That's where I want us to get to today. And if you're already useful, I want you to become more so. If you're already going for it and gung-ho, I want you to get more gung-ho because of what God will do in your heart and in your life. Amen? So today I want to talk about releasing that godly confidence. I don't want us to get all arrogant and brash and aggressive. I'm not interested in that. I want us to have a godly confidence that we know what we're called to do, we know what God's doing, and we start to move in that and we get rid of the inhibitions, the things that hold us down. Let me give you some thoughts on getting that godly confidence released in your life. The first thought is this: your position in Christ is what will give you that confidence. Who you are in Jesus Christ, not yourself, but who you are in God. Not self, but Him. That's what I want us to think about. Not who you are, not who your parents told you you were, not who the teachers said that you were. I heard a story this morning. It was a good one. I'll just tell you, it's completely irrelevant, but it was just a good little story. It was a teacher writing on the board with a very uncontrollable class. And you know how teachers used to throw chalk? Anyone had chalk thrown at them? You naughty people. I only wanted to find out the sinners in the place. That was all. And he's writing on the chalkboard, and these kids are all going berserk, and he's writing it, and he goes, he's just sick of it. He says, "What I'm going to do? I'm going to throw this chalk at the loudest kid in the class." And so he hears this kid talking. He swings around. He throws the chalk, but he's hopeless aim, and so he misses the kid by about 3 meters. But there's a bee on the wall. And he hits the bee right in the back, smack, splats it onto the wall, and he says to the kid, "You keep that up, you're next." Awesome! And the class was very attentive after that. I have no idea what that's about, but it just occurred to me. But it's not about yourself. It's about what God can do. Maybe God can help you that way. It's the blessing of God. But it's not about who you think you are. It's not about who the teacher, that's what got me onto that. It's not about who the teacher told you that you were. Some of you were told you were hopeless by teachers. Some of you were told you could never amount to anything. I've had people in summer, when I used to do the adult training stuff, I've had people there who were told they could never learn anything, they could never be taught anything, they could never do well in the academic world. And we've had some of those people complete university degrees and get jobs and teach others. You do not allow anybody to tell you what you can or you cannot be. Don't get proud, don't get all arrogant, but don't let that determine your life. Don't let that determine your life. It's not about you, it's actually about what He can do in you. It's who you are in Him that makes all the difference. And if you can resolve that, if you can start to resolve that I am accepted by God, I am loved by God, God has placed me in a position of authority and blessing. If you can get that in your heart and in your spirit, then you begin to have confidence. I have this conviction about this morning. God has a purpose for every sphere of your life. Speaking to me about it so strongly during the week and this morning as I was preparing, in every sphere of your life, in your family, in your work life, in your financial life, in your schooling and education, well, I don't care where it is, in every sphere of your life, God has a purpose and an intention. And if you would just step up in the confidence that you have in Him, then He would begin to unleash and reveal what He wants to do with you in those areas. He's got a purpose. Let me be clear. He's got a purpose for you in those areas of life. Something He wants to do through you and in you. And it's in Christ that you'll find it. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." There is no condemnation. Nobody can condemn me because of what Jesus has done for me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." King James Version will tell us, the New King James says, "All things have been made new." All things have been made new. You have been made new by the grace and the love of God. Whatever it is in your personality, in your life, that is actually falling short of what God has for you, understand today that He has already made it new. All you've got to learn to do is to live it out. To live it out. He's already done it. He's already forgiven you. He's already helped you. He's already put gifts and abilities within you. And you just need to learn to live it out. Who are you in Christ? In Christ. The scripture says, "In Christ I can do all things. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. I can overcome, I can achieve, I can fulfill what He's called me to do, not because I'm great or special, but because He is." He is great and He is special and He does it in me. Oh, to get in Christ. Why is it so important that you read the Bible every day, that you get with God every day and listen to what God says? Because the power of your life is to be in Jesus Christ, to be in Him. That's where the power of your life is. If you've got someone who never meets with God, who never reads the Word of God, who never allows God to speak into their life, then you've got someone who's living in themselves rather than living in God. And as you live in God, He will change you and transform you to be the person that He created you to be. You know that every one of us was born for the purpose and the glory of God. And he made us. He put together all the gene sequencing and all that sort of stuff. He did all that in order to produce a person for a purpose. There are no accidents among us. There are no accidents in the world. God has put you here to achieve a particular purpose. And sin and rebellion and abuse and all kinds of hurt distorts that person that God intended. And yet in Christ, I become again the person that God intended me to be. He changes me from the inside out, and I become that person. When I learn to forgive and let go of the hurt and the pain, I become the person that he meant me to be. When I put aside the negative thinking and the depressed thinking and all this junk that I might have got from family or who knows where, when I put that aside, let God renew my mind and change me, guess what? I become the person that he meant me to be. When I know that I am in Christ, then I become the person that he created me to be, to walk with him and to love him and to break through barriers. You know, some of you need to break down barriers between you and God, where you actually meet with God and you let him speak into your heart, where you worship God and you let him lift your spirit, where you become the person that God has intended you to be. Is that all right? I think it's very good. I've got some big scriptures here and great slabs out of Ephesians. I think what I should do is just give you homework. Homework's great. And just read the whole Ephesians. I don't care. Just read the whole thing. Read the whole Bible for homework. Just read Ephesians. But let me read you, one bit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 10. There's a whole lot in here. Ephesians 1 and 2, it's all about who we are in Christ. You see, you read in there, it's in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. It's all there, all the whole time. In Jesus, who are we? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show God what the coming ages, that began straight away. He just wants ages to show us blessing. It's just, anyway, get it into your heart. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. In Jesus is where you find your strength and find who you are. Some people even discover their whole personality in Christ. They are one person because of sin and abuse and hurt and pain. They find Jesus and the love of God, and he transforms them, not into some new thing, but into the person that he had already intended. They're actually transformed back to the person that God intended them to be. Get a hold of it in your heart. God will do it. Discover who you are in Christ. That he loves you, that you're accepted, that you're chosen. I wanted to read some of that stuff, but it's so powerful. You're forgiven, you're chosen, you're predestined. You are the one that God has looked upon. He says, I want you and I want you for a purpose. I have chosen you, I love you, and I've got a purpose for your life. That's what he does for all of us. Amazing, amazing capacity. Someone says, how can God keep track of all the people on earth? Well, there's 7 billion people on earth. Have a think about it. How many stars are there? How many planets are there? How many galaxies are there? Well, God just sets them all spinning. It's not hard for him to take track of 7 billion people. That'd be kind of like you looking after a class of a dozen kids. Might be a little challenging. You get the drift? God's pretty big. Got a pretty good capacity. And he looks at you and he says, I've chosen you for a purpose. And he will walk alongside you and help you to find that purpose. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. The second thing I want us to think about is giftedness. Giftedness. Now, we hear about this a lot. We talk about it a lot every year. We do our focus on gifted service. And so we try to get everyone to understand that they have a gift, they have a calling from God. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it today, except to say that if you want to develop confidence, If you want to develop confidence to get over the inhibitions of life, then one of the things you need to do is recognize that God has gifted you for His purpose. You remember I said that in every sphere of your life, God has a purpose for you? Well, I want to take that a step further. And I want us to understand this morning that He has not only got a purpose for you, but He has already gifted you to achieve that purpose. He's already gifted you to achieve that purpose. You know, we do this building fund thing. We think about the resourcing of the kingdom of God. You know, we think about the mission program. We think about all the giving in the life of the church. We think about this kind of challenge, which is stepping up a challenge on financial resourcing. And what we understand is that God has already gifted people in this area of life. God has already gifted you for that challenge. Some of you, that will really stir in your heart and you'll go, I am one of the people who needs to make that happen. You've already got it. I don't need to point you out or talk. You've already got it. You know in your heart, in your spirit, that's me. I know that's me. And I want to say to you, God has already gifted you for that purpose. That's why we say don't strive, don't stress. I mean, you're going to have to work, you're going to have to sacrifice, you've got to do what you've got to do. But don't strive and stress. God has already gifted you. When you're coming into that family situation and you're trying to bring peace and you're trying to bring harmony and you're trying to bring the blessing of God, the good news is God has already gifted you. He's already enabled you if you'll find it in Him, if you'll only find it in Him. Have a look at it. Romans 12, verse 3 to 6. It talks about the gifting of God. Romans 12 and verse 3. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. See, it's not about arrogance and brashness. It's not about aggressiveness. It's about a sober assessment of ourselves in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. God has already given you a gift. He's already enabled you. He's already given you a capacity. It is really just a matter of releasing that. So I want you to understand that when you face that challenge, instead of saying, I don't know what to do, I feel so inadequate and all that stuff that we do all the time because of our insecurity and our inhibitions and all that, instead of doing that, approach that situation and go, Father God, I thank you that you have gifted me for this situation. I thank you that you've gifted me for your purpose and you've called me here into this place. And so I thank you, God, that you've given me the gifts that will enable me to function and be a blessing in that situation. I think that's a different way to approach life, where I say, thank you, God, for the gifting that you put in my heart. And now I'm going to apply it to the situations where you've called me to have an influence. Every sphere of life, God's got a purpose and He has already gifted you. The last one, you ready for it? The last one is the favor of God. The favor of God. I don't think many of us expect the favor of God. I don't think we do. I think we think we've got to strive and make it happen. I know I do. It's my personality. I'm a task-oriented chap, and I want to make things happen. We're talking with our mission group because we're reworking what's happening in Thailand. And I said to them, I just have this feeling. I always want to just make it happen. And God's speaking to me so strongly to go with His flow and not try to make something happen. I was thinking about how do we get going and get started a micro-enterprise program in China? You can't run that program from another country. That's very difficult. And yet God has gifted us in particular ways to facilitate the release of that program. It's His purpose, it's His calling, it's His gifting. And so His favor comes on it. And we need to begin to learn to expect the favor of God. Look for it. Look for the favor of God to come onto those areas of His calling and where He wants you to do and what He wants you to do. Amen? Mary's example is strong to us. It's in Luke. Some people get this all weird. And look, because of some of the influences of some people, they sort of see Mary as someone who is just totally different to everybody else. Can I just say to you, there are no different people to everybody else. Everybody is exactly the same. I know that you're unique, and I know that, you know, you're a sparkle in your father's eye and all that. I know all that, all right? And everybody does have their uniqueness. But can I just say on another level, everyone's the same. There's no special people. There's nobody. Oh, you know, that person is so much better than me, and they, you know, they could have had that, and they da da da. That's not true. It's just not true. God has uniquely blessed and gifted every person. Every person is of incredible value. Some might have more prominence than others, but incredibly valuable. I have a whole range of illustrations about that in my head, about the body, and how, I'm not going to go there. But I want us to look at this thing about Mary. Mary was just the same as everybody else. In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, have a look at this. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Is there anything special about Mary? Is there anything special about her? No. What was special about her was the favor of God. The favor of God. You are highly favored. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. As I read that, I thought, how many people are troubled when they start thinking about the favor of God? If someone says to them, "You're highly favored," and they go, "Oh, I'm not sure that's true. Oh, I don't know about that. Maybe someone else." Well, Mary was the same as us. And she was a bit troubled, and she thought, man, most of us would be troubled by the angel showing up. But she was a bit troubled, and she thought, what kind of greeting is that? I am highly favored of the Lord? What kind of greeting is that? And yet that's the greeting that God would give every one of us. I can see you're convinced by that. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." No pressure, Mary. But here it comes. Awesome. Highly favored one. You have received the favor of the Lord. I began to look at that. Do a word study for yourself about the favor of God. And I began to realize that right through the scriptures, God's people have always been favored by God. Always. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, every one of them favored by God. Favored by God. We see Moses was favored by God. Joshua was favored by God. God's people were favored by him. He looked upon them and said, "I want to bless your life. I've chosen you, I've called you, you have come to me, you've submitted to me, now I want to bless your life." The favor of the Lord flows right the way through. Luke 2, verse 52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. That word favor, the Greek word there translated as favor, is the word charis, which means grace. A favor from God that comes because of the grace of God. The grace of God on your life. We could go through Acts 2, 44 to 47. Speaks about how the hand of the Lord was on the church and they had favor with all the people. The hand of the Lord brings favor into their lives. I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to give it to you all, but you get the idea. Have a look at Proverbs. Let me give you two scriptures to finish with. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck." Love and faithfulness. Remember that. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. The favor of the Lord. Amen. The favor of God on your life. Who are you in Christ? What is the gifting that he's put in your life? And understand that he wants to put blessing on your life. Psalm 5, verse 12 and 13. Read this in my daily reading just about a week ago, and it really struck me. Psalm 5, verse 12 and 13. "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." I love that last phrase. You surround your people with favor as with a shield. Have you ever thought about that your life can be protected by the favor of God? That the stuff that he's called you to do, that he will actually fight for it and he'll bless it and he'll bring favor upon it. We need to open our hearts to this. Get rid of the stuff that binds you up. Shake it off. Don't let it hold you up. God has created you for a purpose. In Christ, He is renewing in you the person that He meant you to be. He has gifted you for His plan and for His purpose, and He will put His favor on your life. Amen?
Amen.
He will put His favor on your life. He will. He will put His favor on your life. While I'm thinking about Mary and children, and I noticed my daughter-in-law sitting over there. Some of you thought that I was being mean a few weeks ago by saying that I'd like to have some grandchildren someday. Little did you know that that was an in-family joke, and now Kira and Luke have announced that they are expecting our first grandchild, which is pretty awesome. And you can talk to them about the favor of God. Favor of God. Expect the favor of God. He's not embarrassed at all by that. That's the favor of God. We are highly favored. I'm going to be a grandfather before I'm 50. That's highly favored. I plan to be playing soccer when my grandchild is ready to play. That's my plan. I figure I've got to last another 6 or 8 years, and then I can teach him how to play properly, because these young blokes can't do that. So I'm going to have to do that. And I figure by the time I'm like 55, I'll still be going. I mean, no problem at all. And then when the rest of them start sorting things out, then we'll get the team going. It'll be Team Thomas. You know, because when you have kids, you know, you probably don't have 11 kids, but you can have 11 grandkids, and then you can actually make a team, see? It's all going on up here. The favor of the Lord, see? Expect the favor of God. Expect the favor of God. Hey, God will put, I was just looking for an excuse to say something about that, was all. God will put the favor of the kingdom of God on your life. He will. Open your heart to it. The picture I have, the image I have coming out of today, is people who will look at the situations of their life and they will say, in Christ, I am a new creation. God is recreating in me the person that I'm meant to be. The person that can address the challenges that He's got for my life. He's making me that person. That's what He's doing. God has gifted me for this challenge. Whatever that challenge is before you, God has gifted you for that challenge. And I can expect the favor of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank You for Your presence here with us. We thank You for Your incredible favor. We thank You, Lord, that You are wanting to put blessing on our lives, that You're wanting to provide, that You're wanting to bring breakthrough, that You're wanting to bring freedom into our hearts and lives so that we can be people who are free to engage with life as You intend it to be lived. And Father, we just give You thanks and we give You praise. Lord, I pray for those today who are struggling with all that inhibition, all of us, Lord, who are struggling with the inhibitions in various aspects of our lives. And I'm asking for all of us, Lord, that You would help us to change our thinking, that we would be transformed, that we would be those people that You've called us to be, not arrogant and proud, but confident, knowing Your presence, Your blessing, Your calling, and simply living that out as a blessing to others. And we give You thanks and praise for it today. Father, we open our hearts to You this morning, and we want to be in right relationship with You. And Lord, I pray today for anybody today that's not in right relationship with You, and I ask that You speak into their heart, that You draw them to Yourself this morning in Jesus' name. As we're praying, maybe that's where you're at, and while we're all just praying and seeking God, it's time for you today to get right with Him. You know that He's been calling out to you and speaking to you, and your life has not been in line with what He wants. Maybe you've never come and made a right relationship with God. Jesus died for you. Really clearly, the Scripture teaches that He died for you to get into relationship with God. If you want to do that today, then we're going to pray a very simple prayer, and I invite you to pray that with us so that you can get in right relationship with God. Let's all pray together. Father God, I thank You for Your love for me. I thank You that Jesus died for me. I ask You to forgive me for my sin, and I give my life to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't God good? I think God is fantastic. He is absolutely wonderful. He will bless your life incredibly if you'll let Him. Our lives have been so enriched by our relationship with God, His purpose, His intent. been so many challenges, so many things to overcome, and yet our lives have been so enriched by the favor of God. Just amazing.